We're holding on to some Chazal's Amud Bey's last words. We're in the middle of a discussion as follows. There's a concept called a smachta, where a person accepts, where a person says that I'm going to do such and such if such and such happens, and we say that it's not really a complete, it's not really a genuine undertaking to do that. Either because Tosfos gives the rule earlier in the sugya that it means either it's something that's not biyadei, where the condition, whether the thing is going to happen or not, is not something that's up to him, where he's able to make it happen or not, or where gozim, where he's doing something, where he's saying a consequence that's an exaggeration, that's much larger than you would normally expect to be as a result of this thing. So then we say that's called an asmachta. You have machloikas elsewhere in Shas, whether an asmachta is, whether it is valid, whether in fact the other person is koiner or not. The halacha is, we've been saying that it's not. So that the relevance of that is in our Mishnah, we had a case where, a person says, where when he's borrowing money and the malva tells him, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, so he borrows money, he uses his field as a mashkan, and he says, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, then I get to keep this field. So we talk about it in terms of the dinim of ridis, but first the question is whether the other guy even acquires the field at all, or would that be an example of a smachta? So Rav Nachman had mentioned in this connection that, so what happens is, even then, so you have in a case like our Mishnah, where the Malva does end up taking the karka and he ends up eating the peiros of it, eventually he's going to have to return the land and the peiros. The other guy was moichel on the peiros. Doesn't matter. It's mechila betos. We said it's mechila that's based on a mistaken assumption because he thought the field genuinely belongs to the other guy, and now it turns out that not, and therefore we undo the whole thing. The field never transferred ownership in the first place, and therefore neither did the payers. So we said that, first the Gemara had thought that Rav Nachman is basing himself on the idea that Mechila Batos is not considered Mechila. But then the Gemara had said, well, actually, we distinguish between whether you're talking about a sale versus a loan. Where with a loan, you have issues of ribis involved. So in a case of a sale, then you can say that mechila batos is a valid mechila, but by a loan, no, because then you have issues of ribis involved. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos had understood a little bit different that if he had known it was giving it as ribis, then it would be ribis dirabbanan, and based in wouldn't require him to return it. But the thing is, he didn't even realize that there was an issue of ribis, and therefore he thought that it was only an issue of mechila, and was saying therefore that's not considered a valid mechila. So now the Gemara says, Omar Rava, have a yesivna kameh de Rav Nachman. Rava says when the previous case came to Rav Nachman, the Gemara had presented a case where that came to Rav Nachman, but the Rav Nachman had mentioned this din that therefore, because asmachta is not kona, therefore hadri arava hadri peri, therefore you have to return the land and the peris. And Rav Nachman's last statement that when it comes to a sale, even though we say, so the case the Gemara had brought is a person sells the peris of his palm tree in advance before they ever grew, is he able to change his mind afterwards? So Rav Nachman had said yes, even after they grew, the fact is it was never a valid sale in the first place because it was Davish Loi Bala Olam, and therefore even after it grew, he could change his mind. However, Rav Nachman had said that if he did actually already take and eat the Paris, then he doesn't have to return the value of those Paris, because then already it's a done deal. So Omar Rava, have a yesivna kameh de Rav Nachman. So Rava says, I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he said that din, which implies that at least in some cases we say mechila batos is a valid mechila. Or Tosfos says it's not that Rav Nachman holds that, but Rava thought that Rav Nachman holds that. I was going to ask him from the case of Einar, as the Gemara is going to explain what Rava's intended question was. But Oidik, Rav Nachman noticed that I was about to ask, and he realized what he realized that I was going to question him on the basis of some other din, chazison ilonis, and instead he proved to me that his din is correct on the basis of a din of ilonis. So what does he mean by that? So Rava is saying, well, maybe the Gemara is editorializing with what went on over here, that the question would have been from Ona. Vahare Ona, consider the case of Ona that we learned about in the previous perek. Now, you have a case where the amount of the overcharging was 1/6, where we said that then, Kono Maxu Ona, we said the halacha in the end is that you are Kona the object. But you don't have the ability to say, you know what, I overpaid for it. So you know what, I want to return it to you and get all my money back. No, it is a valid kinyan, but the person who sold it to you has to refund you the extra amount that you were overcharged. Now, on the face of it, the Mechila B'Tos, see, isn't every Einar a case of Mechila B'Tos, because he didn't know there was Einar over here? If he had known that there was, then he wouldn't have paid that large amount in the first place. So therefore, so it was a Mechila, but it was based on a Tos, because he didn't know. And yet we say that it's not a valid Mechila, and we do make the seller refund him the money. So therefore, so Rava was going to ask on Rav Nachman, how can you say there are cases where Mechila B'Tos is a Mechila, where we see from the case of Ona that it's not? And Rav Nachman noticed then, says Rava, that he noticed that I was about to ask. And he showed me and proved to me from the case of Ilonis, because Hare Ilonis, consider the case where a man marries a woman and it turns out that she's an Ilonis, the Mechila B'Tos, that's also a case of Mechila B'Tos, because he didn't know at the time that she's an Ilonis when he married her. And have a Mechila. And it is a valid Mechila in the sense that we see the Tznan. We learn in a Mishnah in Ksuvus. Hamama Enes, you have several cases where a marriage turns out to be invalid. There's Mama Enes, there's where a girl was married off to begin with by her mother or her brothers, and therefore the whole marriage exists only to Rabbanan, as we learned about in Yevamos in great detail. And therefore, since the whole marriage exists to Rabbanan, during the time when she's a Ktana, she could do miyun. She could declare that I don't want to be married to this guy anymore. And it takes away the whole marriage as though it never, it annuls the whole marriage as though it never existed. So that's Ma'enes. Vashnia, or where it turns out that she's a Shnia La'arayas. So here we have in last week's and this week's parasha, we have the whole list of Arayas that you're not allowed to marry. Those themselves, Kedushin or Tofasin, a man is Makadish, his mother or his sister or his aunt or any of the 20 so relatives that it describes there in the Psukim, and the Kedushin are not Tofas in the first place. But then you have Nedirabonin, as we learned in Yevamos, you have a whole list of shnius, of second degree relations, which are also derabanan, and since they're only also derabanan, would have been mutar derais and kedushin or toifas in them. Nevertheless, though, the chachamim don't want a man marrying such a woman, and therefore they're going to impose certain penalties on her particularly, because Rashi says that such a woman is going to convince this man to marry her, and he kind of goes along with it. Anyway, so that's Vashniya. V'hai Lonis, or if it turns out that she's an Ilonis and she never fully physically matures and she remains infertile. So in all those cases, Emrahen Lo Ksuba, none of those three women get a Ksuba payment. And that means not only the basic Ksuba, the 100 or 200 that he promises her to begin with, but also Rashi adds, also it includes the Nichsa Tzoyn Barzel, because in the case of the Mama Enes, she's leaving him without his consent at all, unlike the regular case where he gives her a get, where he agrees to give him the get. Here, the Mion is a completely unilateral thing on her part. In the case of the Shnia, the Chachamim penalized her because she'd be the one more likely, the Chachamim figure, who convinced him to marry her. And in the case of an Ilonis, the Mekach Tos, because he didn't know. If he had known she was an Ilonis, he wouldn't have married her. So therefore, in all those three cases, no Ksuba. V'loy Peiris, there's no, when it comes to Nichsa Malug, usually the husband is entitled to peiros from nichsim malug. Here you don't have that takana. That Rashi points out the reason why the whole concept of peiros exists is because the Chachamim said he gets the peiros and return. If she gets taken captive or arrested, then he has to do pidyon shvuyim. He has to redeem her out of his own funds. But that only applies where there's a regular marriage over here. And in all those cases, you don't have a regular marriage. So if he ate peiros from her nechassim, he doesn't have to reimburse her. V'loy mezonos. And also, there's no mizonus in the sense, again, if she borrowed money from mizonus, then he doesn't have to repay. He doesn't have to repay that. Obviously, until they're, as long as they're married, he's giving her mizonus, and once he divorces her, or once she does miyun or whatever, obviously there's no mizonus. What we mean is if she borrowed money from mizonus, where normally, while he was out of town or whatever, where normally he would have to pay that back, here he doesn't. And also when it comes to nichsetzon barzel, even if there's things left over of them that are still usable, so there are things that are worn down, blois means worn down, it could be clothing, it could be, for example, avodim that got older, it could be fields that deteriorated, whatever it is, even if those exist, whatever. The point is, he doesn't have to return the blois. Tosfos actually disagrees on that one, where it means rather with nichset tzon barzel, any depreciation of them, he has to reimburse her for, he used them over the life of their marriage. Now, anything that they depreciated, he has to reimburse her. So Tosfos says blois means, in other words, that he'd have to reimburse her, he doesn't have to do in this case. Tosfos also disagrees actually on peiros. It means that if he collected peiros and they still exist, then he wouldn't have to, then he'd be able to keep them. But it doesn't only mean the ones that he ate. It means even in that case where he collected them and didn't actually eat them yet. Or Tosfos says you could also have a case, for example, where again she was taken captive and she borrowed money and got herself freed. So then afterwards, if she does meals, then again he doesn't have to reimburse her. Whatever the case, the Mishnah is saying that all those things that she doesn't have that. Now the point is, in other words, so we see all of this in Mechila Batos. So she was moichel to him, the Peiros in particular we're focusing on, she was moichel them to him. Now it turns out to have been a Mechila Batos because she was an Ilonis, and then if he had known she was an Ilonis, he wouldn't have married her in the first place. And so here, the whole thing was based on a Tos, and yet we see that the Mechila there is a valid Mechila. So therefore, Rav Nachman says to Rava, his Talmud, you can see from that, therefore, that Mechila Batos is a valid Mechila. However, the Gemara says Veloihi. Actually, the whole discussion between Rava, the whole implied discussion between Rava and Rav Nachman is not really a valid one. It may be so that Rav Nachman holds that Mechila Batos is a valid Mechila, but you can't contradict that. You can't really contradict that from Einah. So if Rava had actually brought up the question of Einah, there would be a different way we could point out that's not relevant. And the case of Ilonis is not really relevant either as a proof for what Rav Nachman says. Loy Einah Tiyufde. Einah is not really a question on Rav Nachman. The fact that he has to repay the Einah. Deloy Yoda the Isay Einah because the Mocho Gabe, because the buyer, the Chlal, didn't know that there was any Einah here to even talk about Mechila in the first place. If he knew there was Einah, then yeah, you could talk about whether he was Mechila or not. He didn't even know that there was Einah here in the first place. He thought that what he paid is genuinely the value of the Eif. So that's not really a matter of Mechila. Ilonis Messiah, and on the other hand, the case of Ilonis is not really supporting Rav Nachman's din either, because that's a special case. After all, a woman would prefer to be known as married. So at least, eventually he finds out she's an Ilonis and he divorces her. And because saying that it was a mekach tos, but at least during that time, she had the benefit that people knew that she was married, and therefore we can say she was moichel on those grounds. That wouldn't necessarily mean that it was mechila b'tos. It means that she actually gained something from it in the course of that. in the end, does Rav Nachman hold that at least in some cases, Mechila Batos is a valid Mechila, and it's not when it comes to, not when it impinges on issues of Ribbis. There actually it comes out that Rashi and Tosfos argue about the flow of the Sugya, and therefore what comes out? Did Rav Nachman actually hold that Mechila Batos is a valid Mechila when it comes to sales, where there's no issue of Ribbis? That's a point to Rashi. Or Tosfos saying Rav Nachman never said that in the first place. It's rather a matter of that when it comes to Ribbis, when it comes to Ribbis, if he knows that it's Ribbis, then we don't take it away from the other guy because then that would be taking away Avak Ribbis by Basin. And we don't do that, but in all other cases, we would say that, in all other cases, we say it's not really a matter of Mechila Batos, but he doesn't, but on the other hand, he does want, in a case of a sale, he would want the other guy continues to trust him, and therefore he's not going to retract from the deal. So it's not a matter of Mechila Batos, it's rather a matter of that he wants to keep his good reputation as somebody who keeps his word. Okay. Getting back to matters of sales where there can be an asmachta involved. The Gemara tells a case, because there's a smachta involved and the sale may not be valid, therefore in turn there may be issues of Rivis, and then it turns out that it's not a sale, but rather a loan. So the Gemara tells a case, by the way, with a number of these cases, actually, the Rambam brings them all under the halachas of Ribis in Malva Valoiva. And a number of those in this particular case, actually, and in a few of these cases, the Raiva disagrees and says it may not really be an issue of Ribis at all. It's just strictly a question of is it a valid sale? Anyway, the Gemara tells how he itza the Amr Levahu Gabra. There was a woman who says to a certain man, Zil Zabin Li Ara Mikrivai, go buy some land for me from my relatives. So she has relatives who have land, and she wants to buy a piece of land from one of them. So she made him a shliach, in other words. Ozol Zabin Law. So he went to buy a piece of land for her from one of her relatives. Omale, the seller, says to him before the sale, before they finish doing the kinyan on the land, he asks, "E havuli zuzi, if I manage to get money together, mahadras lami ali, is she going to return me the karka?" In other words, he's not making it an official tanai, but he's saying basically that I would like to have that option. Then in case that if I manage to get the money together, then I should be able to buy it back from her, and she's going to accept that no matter what. So are you willing to buy it for her on that, are you willing to buy it for her on that condition? Omala, so he answers, Omale, so the shliach says to the seller, La'afra Navla Ochi, you and Navla are brother. Now who is Navla? Rashi brings from the Goinim that Navla is an Aramaic way of saying that person. Whether man or woman, you would use the word navla as a generic word to mean with that meaning. So it would mean you and she are brothers, meaning relatives. In other words, you guys. She's your relative. I'm sure she wouldn't mind. I'm sure she wouldn't mind doing that. I'm not directly. I'm not authorized to speak on her behalf, but I'm sure that she'd be fine with it. Rashi himself says maybe that navla is the actual name of the woman who sent him as a shliach. Whatever the case, the question is now. Is that a valid commitment? When you have an expression like that, you and Navla are brothers, then it means, in other words, that samchadaite means the moicher, means the seller, actually does have a smichus das, that yes, she will agree to that. V'loy gomaru makni, therefore he's not fully being makne the land. Unless with this tonight, and therefore later on, when he comes and offers her the money, then yes, she's going to be obligated to accept it and give him back the land. So in other words, it's not considered an asmachta. It's considered it is considered an asmachta. In other words, in the sense that we're saying that he has that he's not fully selling the land unless that tonight will take effect. Hagros Hagura points out that actually the Rambam has the opposite Gyusa. The Rambam paskins that he's not koine, meaning in other words he has the Gyusa loisam chadaite, that it's not a smichus das. So in other words, the Rambam would learn, says Hagros Hagura, that it's actually a full-fledged shnach. If the shliach had not said anything,
If the shliach had not said anything, then it would mean implicitly he's accepting the Tanai, but because the Rambam learns, because he said at the Navlachi, meaning in other words, you guys work it out between yourselves, then that amounts to saying that I don't necessarily accept the Tanai. It'll be up to her to accept it, and therefore it's going to be considered, and therefore you don't have a full kidney over here. So the Gemara says, Arahodra. Now, the result of that is going to be the land is going to be returning. So according to the Girsa that we have in front of us, it means, in other words, if he gives her the money, then the land will be returned to him because that was the Tanai. According to the Rambam, it will mean sale was never a valid sale in the first place, and therefore the land is returned. Perimai, what would happen to the Peris that she ate during all this time? Now that turns out, in other words, in effect, it wasn't a sale. It turns out it was a loan. So now you have issues of ribis involved. So now what happens to those payers? Ribis tzutzahavu, do we consider them to be full-fledged ribis daraisa even, because it was arranged at the time, in effect, it was arranged at the time of the loan / sale. And therefore, the Yotzim the Dayanin, and therefore, as we've been learning throughout the Perek, Dayanin would make her return that. Or maybe those Peris would be considered only Avak Ribis. Maybe it's only Ribis to Rabbanon, the In Yotzin, and therefore the Dayanin would not require her to return. So what would be the din as far as her being required to return the Peris? So the answer is Amar Rav Baravuna Mistabra Ki Avak Ribis Havu. Rav Baravuna says it's logical to assume that they would be considered like Avak Ribis, the In Yotzin B'Dayonin, and therefore the Dayonin would not require him to return. B'chein Amar Rava, and Rava says the same thing, or Hagos Abak says it should be Rava instead. Ki Avak Ribis Havu In Yotzin B'Dayonin. It's considered only Avak Ribis, and therefore the Dayonin would not require her to return them. Tosfos discusses a little bit about in light of the previous Gemara about Mechila B'Tos, whether that would be about the relevance of this over here. Hagos Hagura points out that also when it comes to the Rambam Shita, we would say that that belongs to something else really. So we're saying that would only be Avak Ribis. Okay. Omalei Abaye L'Rava Mashkanta Mai. So Abaye asks Rava, what about if instead of a sale, it was a mashkanta? So there was a mortgage over here. So he used the field as a mashkin. He didn't arrange that they were going to eat payrus, which then would be a problem of ribis. They just say, in other words, I'm borrowing money from you. I'm using my field as collateral for the loan. We didn't arrange what's going to happen with the payrus. Now the malva on his own goes and starts working the field and eating the payrus. Would that be considered like ribis tzutza, or would that be considered like avak ribis? The question is, awesome time of mind, the shouldn't be like Kotzle. Could you say that in the case of at the Navla Ochi, would we say that it's considered only Avak Ribis because he didn't say at the time when of the sale, we didn't say anything about the woman eating the payrus. So therefore it's only Avak Ribis because Ribis Tzutza would be where it was arranged at the time of the loan, and here it wasn't. Well, Hochanami, like Kotzle. Well, in that case, the same thing would apply over here. Here also, we didn't specify what's going to happen with the payrus, therefore it would also be considered Avak Ribis. Oduma, Hosam Zvini, Hochalva. Or maybe we do have to distinguish, because after all, in the case of At the Navla Ochi, we have it was in the form of a sale. The expectation was there was going to be a sale over here. All it is the Mosher is saying, I want to have the option to buy it back. Whereas over here, when we're talking about a Mashkanta, to begin with, there's a loan, and the usual understanding is that he's going to pay off the loan and get back his field. So maybe there'd be a difference that even so, even though they didn't rearrange what's going to happen with the payrus, maybe nevertheless it would actually be considered like Ribis Tzutza.
Rabba answers, Hosam time of mind, Mishum Dalai Kotzle.
Yeah, the correct answer is your first possibility. that the reason why in the case of Atva Navla Achi, in the case of this woman wanting to buy the land and all of that, the reason why we say that the Peiris only Avak Ribis is because they didn't specify. Indeed, Hochanami, like Kotzlei, well, over here also it is true. They didn't specify, and therefore indeed it would be considered only Avak Ribis. Rashi points out that this conclusion would disagree with what earlier in the Gemara we had on some Chazal Hamid Beis. Rav Nachman had said, "Hadri Adava, Hadri Peiri." You do in fact have to return the land and the Peiris. It would come out. Rashi says that Rabba is disagreeing with that and saying, in fact, you don't have to return the Peiris because it would only be Avak Ribis, and if you make them return the Peiris, then it's Dayonim forcing somebody to return Avak Ribis, and you can't do that. Basin doesn't require a person to return Avak Ribis to Rabbanon, only if he wants to be Lotzis Yedei Shemayim, to be Yotze, to not be punished by Hashem, then he'll return it on his own. Okay. So Rabba says that yes, you can compare that, and it is the same kind of thing. So the Gemara continues. Omar Papi, Ovid Ravina Uvda. It happened once that Ravina Paskin in practice in such a case. V'chashiv. Now he disagreed with that. He disagreed with this din of Rabba Bar Avona and of Rabba. And he actually ba'apik peiri. He made the person give back the peiris. Or Deloitte to Rabba Bar Avuna, not like Rabba Bar Avuna, who said it would be only Avak Ribis. The reason is that Tosfos explains it was, it's only Avak Ribis, but it's not Ribis Ktsutza, but nevertheless, it's because it's Mechila Batos. That's according to Tosfos, and Tosfos again brings that maybe it's not a matter of Mechila Batos, maybe it really is. Because Tosfos discusses this point and says that actually it's not because of Avak Ribis, it's because of Mechila Batos, and as we established before, Mechila Batos is not a valid Mechila, according to Tosfos is Shita. Then there are Rishonim who learn that it is actually, that Ravina holds it would be considered Ribis Ktsutza. Meaning that he would disagree with the previous conclusion that it was Avak Ribis. Okay. So now let's get more into the matter of Mashkanta. The basic idea of a mashkanta is that you're saying, I'm borrowing money from you, I'm using my field as collateral, and then what's going to happen with the field eventually? What happens over the lifetime of the loan? Then there's various possibilities. Now one big distinction that we're going to have in the next sugya is as follows. There were different places where they had the like this. Suppose that, for example, let's say the loan is supposed to be for 10 years. So now if we're going to have a field as a mashkanta during that time, there were places where the rule was that even if the loiva wants to pay back during that time, the malva is not obligated to accept the payment. He can say, you know what, because you mortgaged this place to me for 10 years, I have the right to use it for 10 years. At the end of 10 years, then we can deal with the repayment. So that kind of place is called Asra Deloy Masalfi. It's called a place where they can't remove the malva from the property. The malva can say that 10 years is 10 years, and I have the right to hold on to it during that time. Now, such a thing, there's no issues of ribis because, in effect, what you have here is a sale for 10 years. Since there's no possibility of paying back the loan within 10 years, at least not without his consent, then therefore it's considered not really so much a loan as a sale, just a temporary sale for 10 years, and therefore there's no issues of ribis involved. There is bechlal, by the way, there are interesting halachas in Shulchan Aruch in that regard. Bechlal, when a person is paying back a loan within the time, before the time is up, does he have the ability to pay Bal Korchoi of the other guy? You could have a case, and it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that let's say, for example, you have that, for example, the currency is going to be devalued, or the king is going to be charging higher taxes or whatever, and therefore you want to be rid of the loan before any of those problems happen. You figure, you know what, let the other guy deal with those problems. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that if the time has not come yet, if the time for the loan has not come yet, then you can't force the Malva to accept the payment. Where such problems are known and about to come, but if the time has already come, then you can force them to accept the payment, even though those things are going to happen. The Shach actually brings an example that happened in his times where there was something like that, where there were cases shortly after Zeres Tachvatat, when there were major economic dislocations and troubles and all kinds of things going on. And you have over there, and then the Shach mentions what you can do is if the Malva is not around at such a time, you can even deposit the money in escrow in Beis Din, and that will be good enough. And it's considered you paid off the loan, and now when the currency is devalued or whatever happens, then it's not your problem as the loyvein. But that's within the time before the loan is due. You don't have the right to do that, the Shach says in Shulchan Aruch, without the consent of the Malva. So here in a similar vein, we're talking about then that you have this mashkanta where Asra Deloy Vesalki, it's a place where the local minig is that you can't tell the Malva during that time, you know what, I have the money to pay back, let me have back the field. He has the right to say, no, I'm going to hold on to the field until the end of the 10 years. Now, then you have Asra de Misalki. Then you have, on the other hand, a place where they do have the local minig is any time that the loiva can come up with the money, then he can redeem his field from the mashkanta. Now there you have issues of ribis, because there you have an actual loan over here. So now you have the problem as far as the payers. You also have, now we're going to go through, as we go through the sugya over here, there are various ways of arranging a mashkanta, some of which are also and some of which are mutter, and we're going to deal in the sugya with the various kinds. So the Gemara starts up. Om ma'abreder of Yosef Meshmederov. Ho mashkanta. When you have a mashkanta, as we were just describing, ba'asra de masalki, If it's a place where at any time the loiva can say, you know what, I have the money to pay back, let me have back my field. So then we have issues of ribis involved, because then for the malva to eat the payrus during that time could be an issue of ribis, because then he's getting extra payrus for the fact that he's getting that he hasn't been paid yet. So then, so then, Ma'abreder Rabbi Yosef says then that if the Malva ended up eating an amount of the payrus equal to the value of the loan, so say for example the loan was for $1,000, the mashkanta was for 10 years. Meanwhile, after let's say 5 years, it was having bumper crops all those years. So now each year he had to, altogether in the aggregate over 5 years, he ate $1,000 worth of payrus. At that point we tell him you have to leave the field without any further reimbursement, because the loiva can say at this point, you know what, if I pay the malva anymore at this point, I'm going to be causing him to have ribis, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to cause another year to be over on the issue of ribis. So it's true that it's only a matter of, in other words, if there were to be anything else, it would be only avach ribis, but nevertheless, we don't require him to pay avach ribis in the first place. But he continues, ochal tfei, but if the malva ended up eating more than the amount of the loan, so let's say by the time we figured out what happened over here, he already had $1,200 worth of payrus, So then Ma'abreder Rabbi Yosef says, in that case, we do not take the extra amount from him. We take from him, in other words, we say that, okay, you know, the loan's been paid off, but we don't make him reimburse the 200, because that would amount to making him reimburse Avach Ribis. Rashi and most Rishonim hold that it means just that. That it means that we require him to return the field. We don't require him to reimburse anything. That Rambam actually holds that it would mean that the Dayanim will figure out an appropriate amount, maybe that he should be reimbursed. So it's not an absolute thing that he gets nothing. It'll really depend on the discretion of the Dayanim, what they figure out is the exact situation up here. Most of the other The Rambam points out that really what you have is, in other words, because you do after all have, that in a field, you always have, it's always a risk from one year to the next. So one year there might be payers, the other year not, therefore it can only be avatarigus. So therefore he says that the dayonim will have to take that kind of thing into consideration. Most of the other poskim disagree and say that it means he doesn't get anything at all. Anyway, and my braid of Yosef adds, and also, another point is that we wouldn't count from one shtar to another. We might have, for example, that let's say he had $1,200 of payers from this field on this mashkanta. Now suppose he might have, for example, a mashkanta on a different field from the same borrower where let's say so far he's only had $800. Let's say it was also a loan for $1,000, and let's say he's only $800 worth of payers so far. We're not going to say we're going to take that extra $200 and apply it to the other. We're not going to say that it helps pay off the other one, because that would also amount to taking away something from him that he otherwise has. Like this, again, it would be amount to taking away a vacribus from him and saying that this is going to go to pay off a different loan. So instead we say that you have two shtoris, each for $1,000, each on a different field. One of them you wound up having $1,200 in payers. Okay, you at this point have to return the field because your loan has been fully paid off. You can keep the extra $200 because it's only a vacribus. As far as the other field, you only had $800 yet. You still have another $200 to go before we're going to start saying there were any issues. On the other hand, continues Ma'abred Rav Yosef, Ubdiyasni, if these mashkantas come from Yisoymim, then for Yisoymim we have other rules. Then we want to do the best and want to do the best possible thing for them. And in cases of avak ribis, we are going to allow it for Yisoymim, since it's only ribis to Rabbanim, the same Chachamim who said that avak ribis is also going to make it more lenient for the sake of the Yisoymim. So therefore, in those cases, Mapkinen Misalkinen Lay. So Vidyasni Ochol Shir Zuzi, if he ate the exact amount of the loan, Misalkinim Lay, then we remove him, just like in the other case. Ochel Tfei Makinim Minei, and even if he ate more, we will take away the extra amount from him, even though usually the Dayonim don't take away Avak Ribis, but in the case of Yisoymin, we do. Omachashvinin, Mishtar Lashtara, and we're going to count from one shtar to another. So in the same case, in other words, we are going to say that if you have one where he had $1,200, another one where he had only $800, we're going to tell him at this point, in aggregate, you've had $2,000 worth of payers across these two shtaris, and therefore that's it. Give back both of the fields to the Yisoymim, and you don't get any, and you don't get any extra. Because when it comes to Yisoymim, we go the extra mile to benefit them. And since this whole thing is only Dirabbanan, then we do that on behalf of the Yisoymim. So Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi continues going on this topic. Hashda de Amrit Ochel Tfeilei Mapkin Minei. Well, now that we're saying that if he ate more than the amount of the loan, then we don't take the extra away from him, because that would be taken when it's not Yisoymim, because then it would be taking Avak Ribis away from him. Then actually Rav Ashi says no, not like Ma'abrei de Rav Yosef. Ochel Shir Zuzi Nami Lo Misalkin Lo Beloy Zuzi. Even if he did eat the entire amount, the entire $1,000, we're not going to make him leave without any payment at all. Here's where that machlokas of the Rambam and the other poskim applies. I said it wrongly before that it applies to the earlier case. It applies over here. Rav Ashi is saying that nevertheless we're still going to require. Rashi holds, and most other Rishonim agree with him, that it means we are going to actually make the loiva reimburse him for the entire amount. So even though we're not going to say, in other words, you had $1,000 worth of payers, therefore that's it, the loan is paid off and that's that. No, we're going to say the payers are avak ribis, but nevertheless, we're not going to take it away from you. The loiva is still going to have to return you, they're still going to have to repay you the $1,000. My timer. Why? Because saluki below zuzi, because otherwise to make him leave without being paid at all is in effect to take away the payers from him. Have avak ribis, and after all, the whole problem is that the payers were avak ribis, but avak ribis any yotzei b'dayonim, and dayonim don't make a person pay back avak ribis. So Rav Ashi is saying that we're saying that he did get where no arrangement had been made in the first place, then he is entitled, he shouldn't have taken those payers in the first place, because it's avak ribis, but once it's a done deal, then he has those payers, and nevertheless he's entitled to be paid back the loan. The Rambam holds that it views where the Rambam holds that it means you don't pay him back the entire loan. It means that Dayanin will figure out the appropriate amount, considering the fact that the amount that you get out of a field is going to fluctuate from time to time. So therefore, the Dayanin will take that into consideration and not make the loiva pay back the entire amount, but on the other hand, not make the malva have to get nothing for the payment at all, and say that only the payvis were payment of it. Within that, also, you have a machlokas rishonim. Would this din apply? Is Rav Ashi saying this din by all of akrivis, or is it maybe only in this case of a mashkin? Okay. So the Gemara says, over Rav Ashi uvdav yisomim ptanim, it happened once that Rav Ashi paskin in a case of yisomim ptanim, like we said before, yisomim is a different thing, where Higdolim, and he said the same rule applies to adults. So in other words, here's another thing. Here's another thing where he disagrees with Ma'abred Rav Yosef, who had said by Yisomim, we make an exception. No, Rav Ashi held that by Yisomim, you don't make any extra rules for Yisomim. The rules for Yisomim are the same as they would be for any other Gdolim, where there were payrus and he had eaten the amount of payrus equal to the entire loan, then we're still going to require the Yisomim to pay off the debt. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Breid Rav Yosef, Mishmei Rav. Here's another din that wrote before we had Ma'a Breid Rav Yosef, and in fact, a note on the side of it here said the Rosh had the Gius of Rav Breid Rav Yosef. Here we have another din from Rav Breid Rav Yosef in the name of Rav, also involving a Mashkanta. Hi, Mashkanta. Again, when it comes to this issue of Mashkanta, the Asra de Masalki, in a place where the Minhag is, as we said before, that the Loiva at any time can say, you know what, I'm ready to pay off the loan, let me have my Kalka back, as opposed to, we said, you have Asra de Loi Masalki, you have places where he doesn't have the right to do that during the lifetime of the loan, but in a place where Asra de Masalki, then the problem is, again, we're saying that if the Malva were to eat Paris during that time, then you have issues of Ribis. Therefore, says Rav Bered Rav Yosef, Loi Nechol El Benach Yosa. Therefore, the only valid way for him to be eating Paris and not have issues of Ribis would be with deducting from the loan over for every year. So in other words, we're going to say we expect this field to produce $100 of payrus per year. The loan was $1,000. Therefore, over 10 years, it'll be paid off. And therefore, so now that has the appearance more of a sale. Now the fact is a field from year to year, again, what the output of it is going to be variable. Sometimes he might have a good year and it produces a lot more than $100. Sometimes it might be not such a good year and there's no payrus at all. You actually have the Rambam. The Rambam points out that there's a difference in that regard. The Rambam holds, and then some other Rishonim hold as well, that there was a difference in that regard between, for example, a field versus, for example, a store or a house or something like that, where there's less fluctuation. The amount of rent is pretty much guaranteed. As long as you can rent out the place, you're going to get rent for it. There's nothing like there would be with a field where there can be all kinds of different weather events and things like that, and therefore by those it would be more a problem of ribis tzutza. Whereas when it comes to a field, we're saying it's avak ribis, but we're saying that when you're using nachyosa, when you're using this method of deducting from a fixed amount per year, regardless of the amount of crops, then Rav Breider of Yosef is saying it's mutter. Even if it comes out that he actually ends up more than the amount of the payrus, because again, the guy is taking a chance. The guy is taking a chance because not necessarily every year is there going to be a crop. Now Tosfos actually disagrees with that point of the Rambam's and says that sort of thing would apply even to a house. It's not a matter of whether there's a more guaranteed income stream from it. It's a matter of the fact that you're deducting from the loan over the time of it. So therefore, again, it can be considered. It's not really so much a loan. In effect, it's considered a sale in advance. However, Rav Breidit of Yosef continues, but Surhum and Abanan, however, a Talmud Chacham should be machmir on himself so that people don't learn from him to be careless with Isurim. Afilu b'nach yosa lo nechol, he shouldn't even eat payrus from such a mashkante, even with nach yosa, even with this kind of deducting a fixed amount per year. It's still not good for him to do that, because then people will learn from him and they're going to think to be careless with matters of Rivis. They're not going to realize that there's a difference between deducting a fixed amount per year versus just saying that I'm eating the payrus over the years. So the Gemara asks, Ella of my navel. Okay, well, what is a valid way that he could eat the payrus, and even a Tamar Chacham should be allowed to do that? And the answer is Bekitsusa. You can make an arrangement in advance, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what exactly Kitsusa is. So the thing would be mutter for Tamar Chacham. So, but first the question is, Hanichal Amanda Omer Kitsusa Sharia. Well, that works according to the opinion that says that works according to the opinion that it is mutter with kitsusa, as we're going to say soon what kitsusa is. Elo mando omu kitsusa asira, but you have an opinion that says that such a thing is osir, ma'ikal meimer, then what is the method that a Tamar Chacham could use if he lends somebody money to be able to have payrus from it and not infringe on the dinim of ribis, even ribis dirabanan? And we know there's machloikas on this, the itma kitsusa, fligibar of acha b'ravina. As we know, in fact, that Rav Acha and Ravina argue on this matter of kitsusa. Chad om kitsusa shaliyah, v'chad om kitsusa asira. One says it's also, one says it's mutter. The Gemara elsewhere explains that wherever you have throughout Shas, when Rav Acha and Ravina are arguing, most of the time Rav Acha is the one who's machmir and Ravina is the one who's maple. So therefore, we come out that Rav Acha would be the one who's saying that's asir, and Ravina would be the one who's saying it's mutter. Anyway, heichi domi kitsusa. What does kitsusa mean? Where we're saying that where there's this argument. So do amalei ad chamashinin achinu la b'loy nachiyasa. The case would be where he says for the first 5 years of the loan, I'm achinu la b'loy nachiyasa. I'm going to be entitled to eat the payrus of the ground without deducting anything from the debt. Mikan ve'elach. After that, shayim nalach pulu peiri. After that, I'm going to figure out the actual amount of the payrus that I'm eating, and then I'm going to deduct that from the chod. The idea is, in other words, the reason why it works and why it's not considered a problem of ribis according to that opinion is because then for the first few years it seems more like he's an oris who works the land and is entitled to a certain percentage of the payrus. In other words, like this, usually we think of an oris as they make an arrangement on an annual basis. Every year, I'll get X amount of the pay, I'll get whatever percentage of the payers, and you'll get whatever percentage. Instead, it's perfectly possible to make an oris arrangement where you're going to say, for the first 5 years, I'm entitled to the payers, and for the second 5 years, you're entitled to them. So in that case, then it appears like an oris, and therefore that opinion says such a thing would be mutter. So Rishonim discuss over here the whole issue with this and various other kinds of mashkantas that we're talking about over here, which ones apply only ba'asra deloy, which ones apply ba'asra de masalki, and which ones ba'asra deloy masalki. Does it depend whether the loiva can pay off the debt during the time and get his field back? The Ritva points out, so Rishonim point out over here, b'chlal, that if it's an asra de masalki, then how would that work? Within the 10 years, it could happen. He ends up eating the payrus for 5 years, and then before the second 5 year comes, the other guy pays off the loan, and then he gets back the field anyhow, and therefore it comes out that he ate payrus without any deduction at all, and that would be also. So there's a good deal of discussion about that point. So again, you have machlokes of Acha and Ravina whether such a thing is mutter. So according to Ravina, who says it's mutter, then good. Tamar Chacham can do that. What about then? The question is. But first the Gemara says here's a different definition of kitsusa. Ikadami, there's another version of what kitsusa is. Ko b'loy nachiyasa also. Yes, if you have a period of time when there's no deduction at all, then both of them are going to agree that that's also because it seems like this. Abel, Heichi, Dama Kitsusa. What is the case of Kitsusa, where Rav Acha and Ravina are arguing about, is the Amalei, where the Malba says, Ad Chomashnin Achilna Ben Achiyasa, during the first 5 years, I'm going to deduct from the loan according to the amount of pay, a fixed amount per year. Again, we're going to say, let's say $100 per year, regardless of the actual amount of payers. And after that, we're going to figure the actual amount of payers per year. So then that would be, according to that second opinion, that would be called kitsusa. And then Ravina and Rabach and Ravina and Rabacha would argue whether such a thing is mutter or not. Anyway, so the Gemara points out, we have to get back to the answer of the question that we left open before. If we're going to say kitzusa is also, what is a method that a Talmid Chacham can use when it comes to a mashkanta to be able to eat the peiros and not be infringing on the dinim of ridis, even by marisayim? But first we have to figure out, the Gemara points out, manda also become maisa. If we say that only the first kind of kitzusa is also shari b'basraisa, but he would say the second one would be mutter, because you always have nachyasa over there. You're always deducting an amount from the loan. The difference is the first 5 years you're doing a fixed amount, and the rest of the years you're doing a variable amount depending on the actual amount of crops. But manda also b'basraisa. But if you say that even the second case is also, because we would say that even then it has the appearance of ribis, because after all you're arranging in advance that you're going to be getting a fixed amount per year, and meanwhile we're going to be deducting a fixed amount from the loan per year. Meanwhile, the payrus in each of those years may be a lot more than that, and therefore it has an appearance of ribis. Well, according to that opinion, if you chose the meisel, what is a way that a Talmid Chacham would be able to hold a mashkanta and still be able to eat the payrus and not have any of these issues? And obviously, we want him to eat the payrus somehow. Otherwise, what good does it do him to have the mashkanta? And the answer is shari ki mashkanta de surah. It would be allowed when you do the arrangement like a kind of mashkanta that they do in the city of Surah, the Kasvi Bahochi, where they write as follows when they do the mashkanta, the Mishlam Shnaya Ilan, when these years are over, Tipuk Aradob, like Sach, this field will go out from the Malva's possession and return to the Loiva without any payment at all. In other words, what we're saying is we're only specifying the number of years. What we're saying is that we're not specifying anything. We're not specifying anything about the amount per year that this field is expected to produce in Paris. So then it really looks like he bought the Paris in advance for all the years, and that would be mutter. So such a thing would be mutter, and there's no issues of ribis, because here it's not in effect a loan at all. It's rather a sale of all the payers in advance. So such a thing would be mutter. Tosfos points out that Tosfos again discusses about this Asra de Masalki and Asra de Loi Masalki business that again you could be talking about over here. Even if it's Asra de Masalki, even if he has the ability to pay off a loan and undo the mashkanta in between, It is very similar to Nachyosa, to deducting, where we just said you have different opinion whether that's allowed or not. But the fact of the matter is that they're saying they explicitly said that after 10 years, it's going to return without payment, without any further payment. Meaning, in other words, that we're saying even if during those 10 years the Malva had gotten no payrus out of it at all, let's say all those 10 years had been years of drought or whatever, and he didn't, nevertheless, he's not going to have any further claims on the Loiva. So in effect, we're saying it's not a loan; it's rather a sale. Meanwhile, other Rishonim learn that it would only where it's Asra Delay Masalki. The Rambam discusses this whole point in detail. The Rambam points out there are Rishonim, the one of the Goinim, the Halachas Goylus learns actually that any kind that there always has to be a deduction, otherwise there's Yulibis Tzutza, and they don't even distinguish between a field which has a variable income stream versus a Chotzer, which is not variable. And they're saying that the only way would be mutter is only the way we're saying over here that'll return for free. The mashkanta besura, the Rambam says actually there are other cases of mashkantas that would be mutter as well, because of the field again you have variable per year, and therefore even with nachyasa it's mutter to a certain extent, as Rabbi Bereid Rabbi Yosef had said before, and you have the Noisa Kalim and the Rambam deal and in some detail, the Magen Mishnah in particular deals with in some detail with the whole question of, again, are we talking about Asra de Masalki or Asra de Le Masalki? Are we talking about a place where the mashkanta is guaranteed for a certain term, or whether it's something that at any time the Loiva could bring him the money and get him out of the property. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Here's some other relevant dinim as far as mashkanta. not directly related to Ribis issues, but since we're talking about a Mashkanta and about Asra de Masalki and Asra de Le Masalki, then the Gemara is going to bring some other dinim that apply to one versus the other. So the Papa for Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua Amitavayu. Both Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua say the following dinim. Hi Mashkanta, when you have a Mashkanta like this, a mortgage, but Asra de Masalki, when you have, it's an Asra de Masalki, it's the kind of place where the loiva could, at any time, pay off the loan, and get his field back. So, Ein Baal Choiv Goyva Himena. So Baal Choiv would not be able to collect from that field. Meaning, in other words, so if the Malba himself owes money to somebody else, since it's Asra de Masalki, since at any time the Loiva can, so you have three people involved over here. You have Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and in turn Shimon also owes money to Levi. So Reuven had used his field as a Mashkanta to Shimon. But it's Asra de Masalki, it's a place where at any time during the lifetime of the loan, Reuven can bring the money to Shimon and get his field back. Therefore, it's not truly considered to be Shimon's. So the Malva is not considered to actually own the karka. So if Shimon dies and his sons inherit it, the Baal Choiv would not be able to collect from it because it's considered basically only Metalflin. And Metalflin of Yisraimim are not Meshubah to a Baal Choiv. If he was alive, Rashi points out, then he'd have to give it because even his Metalflin are under a Shibud as well. But where he died, then it's only a matter of them being Chayev. As you say, in effect, we say karka can be considered an orev for it, but not. So therefore, Levi would not be able to collect it from Shimon the Yoshim. The Ena B'chor Noto B'Pishnayim, another din would apply to an Asra de Masalki, that a B'chor would not get a double portion of it. So you have, Rashi points out, there's a machlokas in Bava Basra, when it comes to a loan that has not been paid off yet, is a bechor entitled to a double portion of it. We have a concept called Ein Bechor Noto Pishnayim B'Roi to the Muchzak, that a bechor doesn't get a double portion of Roi, of possessions that don't exist yet, that are not yet in the hands of the father when he passed away, and are only going to come to him, but they're not in his possession yet. So the Gemara brings over there an opinion, which is in fact the halacha, that a bechor doesn't get a double portion of it. So here also, the point is, it's not considered their father's, since it's an Asra de Masalki. So again, it's not considered a sale, it's considered a loan. So it's only Roy, and therefore a bechor is not going to get a double portion of it. Ushvias Meshamata, and if Shmita comes during that time, then it will cancel the loan just like any other milva. Because again, you don't have, it's not considered a milva ala mashkin, because that would apply to a mashkin of metaltlin. It doesn't apply to a mashkin of karka, and he didn't actually acquire it. On the other hand, they continue, but ask for the loy masalki, but if it's a place where loy masalki, where the loyva cannot unilaterally say, I'm ready to pay off the loan, give me back my field. So now it's considered a sale. Now it's considered an irrevocable sale during that time. Therefore, Baal Choiv Goyva Hemenu. Therefore, if Shimon passes away, Levi, to whom Shimon owed money, will be able to collect it from the Yisoimim, because it's considered it actually belonged to Shimon, and the Yisoimim inherited it, and therefore, like any karka of Yisoimim, it's got a shibud on it. If Shimon passes away, then when his children divide up the property, then the Bechor will get a double portion of it until the 10 years or whatever are over. The Ein Shvias Meshamata, and Shmita will not cancel the loan, because now you have there's no loan over here. In effect, there's a sale. V'omer Marzutra Meshmeid the Papa. Furthermore, Rav Marzutra says in the name of Rav Papa, here is another din that applies to mashkantas. Hai mashkanta ba'asra de Masalki, in a place where the loiva has the ability to remove him, to pay off the loan and remove him, where again we're saying all along that now this is considered a milva rather than a sale, Masalki lay, so now when he pays off the loan, then he removes the moicher from the property and gets it back, ba'afilimi tamri da'abudya. Even if you have dates that are already on the mats. When they would harvest dates, they would put mats under the palm trees for the dates to fall on, because if they fall on the bare ground, they're going to get squashed and dirty. So they would put mats down over there. So now, even though at this point the Malva had already been harvesting the dates, and he already has them on the mats, so he hadn't yet done a kinyan on them, though. So therefore, they're going to be returned to the loiva. They're going to be returned to the loiva together with the rest of the field. So the point is, because they have been in the malva's reshus, but it's considered as though they made a tnai befeirush, that when he pays off the loan, then he loses his rights to everything, even the payrus that he had already paid. There is actually a point that the Rashba and other Rishonim make, that actually what we mean is, in other words, we're not talking so much in terms of the dinim of Mekah or Memker. We're rather talking about it relevant to the dinim of Ribis that we said before. He has to return the actual karka, but never, and as far as the payrus we discussed, he doesn't have to reimburse the payrus, because otherwise that's taking Avak Ribis away from him. So again, if the loiva wants to say that you shouldn't be able to keep the payrus because you would be keeping avak ribis, then fine, he can do that, but not to say payrus that he already was zeichen, that would actually be taking it away from him. It's one thing to say you can't take the payrus from now on, because that would be avak ribis, but the payrus that he had already been zeichen, then he gets to keep. So according to them, that would mean what it means back to the matamri dabur. The iak bahano besisni, on the other hand, if the malva had actually picked up the dates in baskets, kanonu, then he was koina them, because then he did a kinyan agva. So then he wouldn't have to return them. Ulamanda oma kelev shalakeach v'shus mocher kono lekeach. Now, you do have an opinion in Bava Basra that says that chlal, if the lekeach has his keli in the property of the mocher, then he's able to be koina with that. So then, afilu d'loyak bahanu b'sisni kanonu, then he would be koina them, if he hadn't picked them up in baskets, because the mats are his, and he would be koina them with kinyan keli using his mats. Okay. More dinim on the subject of mashkan. So the Gemara says pshita. Now it's obvious the following din, ba'asra de masalfi, in a place where they can remove him at any time, where they can pay off the loan at any time. But omer lo mistalakna, if the malva says at the time when they make the loan, that the deal is usually in this place, it's an asra de masalfi, but I'm giving you the loan only on condition that I won't have to leave, that I'll have the mashkanta for the full 10 years. Well then, hakamad lemistalakna, then fine. He said, I'm not going to remove myself, meaning in other words that then the other guy agreed. And therefore, that's a valid arrangement. And then the loiva can't later on change his mind and say, you know what, I want to pay off the loan. The malva would have to say, the malva would have to agree to it. Because to begin with, they made that deal. Now Tosfos actually discusses that maybe not. It could actually mean where they made this arrangement after the halvah. So he had borrowed the money stam, and the assumption was that it would be asked, and because it's asked to Masalki, the assumption was that he can pay it off any time. So even later on, the malva could impose this condition, although the Gemara is going to say you need a kinyan in order to make it official. So Ela ba'asur delay masalki. What about the other way around? A place where the minhag is that the loiva cannot pay off the debt and get back the mashkanta early. But omer mistalakna, if the malva says at the time or later on, you know what, I am willing to, if you pay me back, my, what would be the din? Sorech lemikne minay oloi. Do we need to make a kinyan to make that official? And otherwise, the malva can say, I want to stick to the way things are usually done over here. Oloi, do you not need to make a kinyan? Because to begin with, he made this condition at the beginning. Or according to Tosfos, the vote would be because he voluntarily said that. So the Gemara says, Rapapa amaloit sarach lemikdemine. So the Papa says, you don't need a kinyan in order to confirm that. Rav Sheshes, breidin of idi amat sarach lemikdemine. Rav Sheshes, breidin of idi says, you would. And if not, then he can change his mind. The halacha is that you would need to make a kinyan in order to do that. Um, so, uh, When Tosfos says that could apply even after Matan Mos, so again, Rashi holds that it's only if this condition was made at the time when he gave him the money for the loan, and the Rambam agrees with that, but the many other Rishonim agree with Tosfos and say that it could apply even after the loan. What about another din? What about an Asur de Masalti? Omer Ezov Icy Zuzi, suppose that the loiva says, I don't have the money right now, but I'm going to go and bring the money, so don't eat any more payers. Loi Ochel, at that point, the malva has been put on notice that the loiva is going to bring the money soon, and therefore he has to stop eating the payers now. But if he says, Ezov Etrach the Icy Zuzi, if he says, so Ezov Icy Zuzi means, in other words, I have the money available, I have the cash, I just have to go get it from my house. But if he says, Ezov Etrach the Icy Zuzi, but if he says, I'm going to go and work to get the money together, so in other words, so I'm ready to pay, I want to buy back the field, I want to get back, I want to undo the mashkanta, but I need to first raise the money, then, Ravina Oma Ochil, Mazut Rebeder of Mari Oma Loya. So now you have Machlokas, Ravina says, the Malva can still continue to eat the payless because he doesn't have the money ready yet. And Mazutra, Bredir Amori says that he can't, that already that's considered that he's put on notice. The Hilch Saloy Ochel, the halacha would be that at that point the Malva can't eat the payers anymore. Once the loiva tells him, I plan to pay off the loan and I'm going to start raising the money for it, then already at that point the Malva is not able to eat the payers. The Amori doesn't specify, but presumably, if Beis Din would see that he's Stam doing that to play a trick on the guy or to stall for time or whatever, then they would take the appropriate steps. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll discuss more about these dinim of mashkantas and ribis and so on. So, yeah.